Right, good morning. As Richard said, I'm going to talk about the barriers to an exclusively online journals environment in UK higher education. And I've got quite a lot to get through, so I'm going to go straight into the study objectives. As we know, most journals are available online. And this study is based on the premise that we should be maximising digital benefits and eliminating print cost burdens. So we can take advantage of online delivery anywhere, anytime, functionality, search and citation linking, and supplementary items such as data sets. We can eliminate the cost of space, the time associated with checking in and other print library functions, and even environmental concerns about paper printing and shipping. So to do this, we undertook a literature search, an analysis of Sconnell statistics, publisher data on print versus online subscriptions, and an extensive programme of interviews with librarians, academics, publishers, and other organisations. So rather than looking at the background for where we are now, which I think we really all know, I'm going to count down in reverse order the 12 barriers as scored by 16 libraries from 1 to 10, 10 being the most serious barrier. So in at 12 was the embedded print culture in libraries, which scored 3.1. There's been a massive transition to online, and really the redeployment of library staff and retraining and all the new skills associated is really complete. And so we didn't really find any evidence that print culture still exists. However, there are a couple of practical issues. There's still a little bit of reluctance to sell e-only to academics. And the Dutch consortium UKB had undertaken a programme of articulating the cost benefits and service benefits of online journals very, very successfully, so something that perhaps we could recreate in the UK. Also, two of the publishers interviewed reported that a significant number of subscriptions were not activated online, and those weren't just P plus E, they were online-only subs too. So the publishers' reluctance to engage with open access. Some of the publishers we interviewed didn't even mention open access. Some of those that did and considered themselves to be OA-friendly actually really didn't think that it was particularly relevant to this project. And whilst librarians and academic staff very much support open access, they on the whole saw it as, in the same way as publishers, as not directly relevant to going online only in the UK. So, the continuing demand for print. Well, there is a continuing demand. Some authors prefer print as the version of record. Some humanities and social science journal editors and their readers see the journal in the context of a crafted issue. It's a dialogue rather than a collection of articles that are searchable, sometimes based around a theme or a topic. So it could potentially be overcome online by adding table of content links to the end of each article. There's also concerns about the quality of images in some disciplines, and publishers have found it very difficult to obtain or extend the rights to images online. And when they have obtained those rights, they're sometimes time-limited to 12 months. We have regulators and professional bodies treating print as the version of record, sometimes setting minimum print holdings requirements with libraries as a condition of validating courses. There is also, of course, advertising and special sales, which are a very important revenue stream, particularly in medicine and to some extent in engineering. And online advertising just achieves lower revenue. Reprints that are distributed by pharmaceutical companies, online access as an alternative really doesn't have the impact and so isn't desired by them. So we can address the issues with the professional and regulatory bodies about changing their mandates to online, educate the academic community about the quality of images, and for the rest, we need to use digital printing technologies and print-on-demand to keep a low-cost base for publishers and still serve our communities. Most publishers provide digital backfiles, but most of them don't go back to volume one. So there's a lack of availability. There's also a lack of availability of funding in libraries. Our UK libraries found this much more of a concern than other libraries, who, to be honest, probably couldn't afford the back sets anyway. But they don't really consider it to be a true barrier because it doesn't prevent them from migrating current subscriptions to online only. Scholarly culture is really closely related to the demand for print, and faculty are certainly seeing the benefits of online only. There's a steady migration to e-journals in all disciplines, which is almost complete in STM, and slower in the humanities, but still getting there. Most libraries did encounter vocal resistance from a few individuals, but work patterns are really evolving, so there's very little that needs to be done in this area other than at a local level. Now, there are still journals that are only available in print. Most of these are run on a shoestring by small presses and societies or from university departments. They're really run by experts in their field rather than professional publishers. And so there's a little fear about the online technology that's involved. There are also foreign language titles, which are important in subjects like classics. And the RL UK libraries, again, said that this was very much more of a problem for them than the other institutions. But all of the librarians did say they think it would very much diminish over time and eventually go away. But we still need to get those last few journals online. NESLI 2 opt-in deals are essentially a structured discount scheme, and they don't achieve publishers' best prices. Block purchase would get much better prices, but provides libraries with titles that they probably don't need. A UK-wide consortium where everybody subscribes to the same content met some resistance from libraries, particularly the RL UK libraries, as universities compete with each other, and one of the ways in which they do that is with their library holdings. But that doesn't mean that NESLI 2 is in any way a bad thing, and GIST Collections is certainly seen as an enabler, and it can be creating more regional library consortia, and they've been very successful with Sheddle, and we hope to see that extended. There was a lot of variance in views about long-term preservation. There's still some concerns about the robustness and about digital obsolescence. But really, because of the initiatives that are already out there, there's been a lot of confidence that's increased. And UKRR also falls as a backdrop, even though it's in print, it's still a reassurance. And this is really covered in a lot more detail by Charles Beagrie's paper for GISC, which actually outlines a national strategy for this. Technical issues. Well, there are changes in publisher and there are changes in platforms. There's a lack of Shibboleth and Athens authentication, different definitions of authorised users, problems with remote access and login, like clicking through three or four pages before you reach the login, differences in interfaces, and a lack of uniformity in terminology, where publishers are calling exactly the same thing lots of different terms, which is really a major cause of the inquiries for libraries. But they didn't see it as a barrier as much as an irritation. And really request that we use standard terminology, all publishers implement Shibboleth and Athens, that the definition of authorised users should include a standard walk-in use and staff of organisations affiliated with the university, particularly NHS staff, and that publishers sign up to Project Transfer. Continuing access. Well, it's getting there, but it's far from being universal, particularly with smaller publishers who have been more reluctant to allow continuing access. Maintenance fees are seen as a bit of an obstruction by libraries because they're really paying additional fees for something they've already paid for. And the use of physical media as an alternative is a problem because it prevents them from having seamless access to content. This was much more of a concern for the RL UK libraries than, say, the post-92 libraries. But really the only recommendation is that publishing trade bodies and organisations like UKSG continue to keep telling publishers why this is important. No surprises. VAT. Obviously, VAT is only charged on online journals and print is zero rated. The zero rate is not consistent within the European VAT directive, and was negotiated as a derogation when the UK joined the EU in the 70s. The scope of the zero rate cannot be extended. There's a lot of lobbying, which is good, and the EC has recently announced that it's re-examining the VAT directive with a view to equalise print and online journals. But this is likely to result, if it goes ahead, in VAT being charged on print. Now, this may be at the standard rate, which is not something anybody wants, but it may mean that we get a reduced rate on both versions. But I wouldn't hold your breath. If this is going to happen, it's going to take a long time to happen. So we really need to find measures to mitigate VAT, which means providing a differential in publisher pricing. And so number one, publishers' pricing policies. Well, there are a lot of models, there's lots of experimentation, there's almost a chaotic pricing landscape. Not all publishers even offer online-only pricing. But publishers can't confer on pricing policy. It would breach competition law in the UK and EU and antitrust law in the US. So collusion, whatever the intention, is just illegal. Customers can, however, place pressure on publishers to try and standardise pricing. It's happened with licensing terms via national licences, and I really think it would be most beneficial if organisations like JISC and RL UK could bring together library groups to create a statement of requirements that include things like pricing policy and pricing models. And they could also combine that with the licensing term issues. But most importantly, publishers need to create a differential between online and print that offsets VAT altogether. And that is roughly 17%. And if you don't believe me, there's the calculation. So, some initiatives we can take. Every publisher differentiates their pricing between online and print. We provide the benefits of moving to e-only for academic faculty with briefing notes and seminars. Create a national strategy for long-term preservation. Identify all those professional bodies and target them to really change their concept of the version of record to online. Hopefully address the issues with the image rights holders as well, and develop a statement of requirements that really means that publishers have to become a little bit more uniform in the way that they operate with libraries. And that is it. The report's available on the RIN website, and the slides will be on the UKSG website.